little thing is a little thing, but a little thing, when God is in it, is a very great thing.
In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Can you relate to that as you seek to represent your Savior today? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today about that rather rare word, diligence. To be diligent means to do your utmost. In Peter's second letter, he tells us that God has given us everything that is necessary for living a truly good life. In other words, you and I really don't have any excuses, do we? We can think up a long list of excuses why we can't really live a good life. It might be somebody else's fault from the past, or it might be somebody who's making it impossible that you have to live with. It might be your own lack of abilities, lack of gifts, lack of opportunities. Whatever the excuses are, they really are not worth offering to God, because He has already told us that He has given us by His own action everything that is necessary for living the truly good life. Good in God's terms, not necessarily admirable, not necessarily the kind of life that other people are going to notice or comment about or admire, but in God's terms, the good life. In allowing us to know the One who has called us to Him through His own glorious goodness. That's the wonderful thing. We are redeemed by His glorious goodness. We have no righteousness in ourselves, but Jesus Christ, who was made sin for us, gives us His righteousness and allows us to know Him. It is through Him that God's greatest and most precious promises have become available to us men. And remember, this is Peter who's writing this. Peter, whose failure is known to all the world. Peter, who at the most crucial moment totally denied his Lord, afraid of criticism, afraid of being identified with an unpopular man. He denied even knowing who he was. He was forgiven. It's Peter who's writing this. It's Peter on whom Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church." It's wonderful to think of these words in terms of what we know about Peter's sins. We don't know very many of the sins of most of the apostles, but we certainly do know about Peter's failure. It is through him, Peter says, that God's greatest and most precious promises have become available to us men, making it possible for you to escape the inevitable disintegration that lust produces. We talked about loving God, and loving God is proved only by our loving other people. If we tell ourselves that we love God but hate people, the Bible says we're lying. And the truth is not in us. Was it Lucy in that Peanuts cartoon that said, "I love humanity, it's people I can't stand"? And I think a lot of us would identify with Lucy in that. In general, we like people. In particular, it's another story, isn't it? Well, today let's think about diligence in terms of loving what God has given us to do. The tasks that God has given us to do are related to, for one thing, our marital status. If we are married, we have certain obligations to our spouse. If we have children, we have obligations to our children. If we are single, God has given us a different kind of a job to do. to glorify him as a single person, to accept singleness, to do what married people can't do because they're too tied down. Loving God means loving what he's given us to do. What relationships do you have to think about right now that involve tasks? Every relationship involves some sort of a task. Is your mother in a nursing home or your old uncle? Is there a task for you to do? Very likely there is. To visit them, to call them, to take them their favorite fruit, to perhaps cut their toenails. That might be something that you never thought of, but it's a very necessary thing that doesn't always get done when it should be done in nursing homes because of the overworked staff. Well, I'm giving you terribly down-to-earth little things here. To love God is to love what God has given us to do. What is your job? At work, you are responsible to do the things for which you are being paid faithfully, diligently. Your church involves tasks. Your home. Each entails a task, an opportunity to correspond, to match, to live up to what God is asking. An opportunity to cooperate with God. Well, but I don't see anything very spiritual about my work, somebody says to me. If you had any idea how boring my work is, it's all very well for you to talk. Look at the interesting jobs you have. You get to broadcast, you get to write books, you get to travel around. Oh, if you knew. And of course, I don't know, and I have to say, I don't know. But I do know what the Bible says here, and I believe that the Lord can transfigure that task if it's offered to Jesus. He doesn't look down on it. He doesn't think of it as trivial. Is it a dirty job? Remember that Jesus did a dirty job when he washed the disciples' feet. It's how you do the job that determines your love for God. These very things are the manifestation of the will of God in my life and in your life. Now, my life has not always been broadcasting. My life has certainly not always been writing books. I'm not going to tell you about the story of my life, but I do know something about what could be boring jobs that can be given to God. These are the manifestation of the will of God in your life, the sphere of his operation for your fulfillment, and the sphere of your cooperation for his glory. We were talking about grace and response last week. The grace of God has given you work to do. Your response will indicate how much you love him. God has given you strength, energy, the ability to work. And work was God's idea in the first place. We mentioned the work that Noah had to do when he built a 450-foot boat that was about 10 stories high. What about the work that went into the building of the temple? All those nameless stone cutters sitting there in the quarry with hammer and chisel. Ping, 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 ping. All day long. In Ecuador, where I used to be a missionary, I often saw stone cutters sitting by the side of the road. Very often they were women with piles of rocks and a little hammer. Hammering, hammering, hammering all day long to make little rocks, stones, gravel for the road bed. Is it meaningless work? Yes, unless it's done for God. A little thing is a little thing, but a little thing, when God is in it, is a very great thing. Shall I say that again so you can write it down and put it up over your sink or over your office desk? A little thing is a little thing. But a little thing done for God is a very great thing. The will of God, the will which causes other things to be accomplished, accomplishes through the will of man some of the things that God wants to get done. Now, it doesn't take the will of man to make the lobsters swim in the bottom of the sea and the tides rise. But it does take the will of man to rake the leaves or wash the dishes or hammer the stones or write the books or win the wars. So God, who is the causing will, accomplishes his will through our caused wills. God is the primary cause who causes his creatures to cause. I hope I'm not losing you there. Think of the diligence of ants. Stop sometime and for 2 solid minutes, watch an ant. You've never seen anything more diligent. Attentive, steady, persevering, earnest, careful, industrious. The ant is diligent. And the Bible says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, you lazy person. Watch what she does and get wise." I remember seeing one of those wonderful nature films that Moody puts out, and this was called City of the Bees. And I've never forgotten the industry pictured in that movie of what bees do, keeping the hives, for example, at an even temperature to within 2 and 3 degrees all year round. Diligence. Diligence in doing the will of God. God caused the bees to cause the honey to be made. Well, let's think some more tomorrow on the subject of how we can diligently love God by the way we do our work.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.